I think it would be really helpful if you could, if you have a Bible, if you could have that passage in Jonah chapter 2 that Lewis read for us open in front of you. And just to set the scene, and maybe we should have included this verse in our reading, let's just read the last verse of chapter 1. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. I'd like to say put yourself in Jonah's situation, but I'm fairly confident that none of us has ever experienced anything like being swallowed by a great fish. The nearest comparison is probably a combination of the coldest, clammiest, darkest, most frightening place we've ever been. It's difficult to imagine how confused, how frightened, how desperate Jonah must have felt. But what does he do? What does he do? And our passage begins from inside the fish. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. And the first thing I'd like us to notice this evening is that we should pray to the Lord in all circumstances. Just trace that through a little bit. Verse 2, it says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord. From the depths of the grave, I called for help." He goes on in verses 5 and 6, "The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains, I sank down. The earth barred me in forever." It's the prayer of a drowning man. It's the prayer of a man whose life has almost ebbed away before the fish swallows him. Jonah recognizes that his only hope is the Lord his God. The Lord whose command is disobeyed. The Lord who he is trying to run away from. Verse 4, "I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple." Verse 7, "When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple." In his darkest moment, when he feels banished from God's sight, where does Jonah turn to look, as it were, in his mind? Your holy temple. Who does Jonah remember? The Lord. Where is Jonah's prayer heard? Your holy temple. The temple. The place where God dwelt among his people. The place of sacrifice for sin. The place of forgiveness. So who do we call to when we are in distress? Who do we turn to, perhaps turn back to, when the currents are swirling about us, when the waves and breakers are sweeping over us, as it were, when, figuratively speaking, the seaweed is wrapped around our heads? Do we recognize that our only hope is the Lord our God? Do we pray as Jonah prayed? So often we don't know what to pray. But let's just for a moment think about the example of Jonah. For those who are well acquainted with the psalm, much of Jonah's prayer may have sounded familiar. If you have a Bible with cross references, take some time later just to follow them through. It's always a fruitful exercise. But let's, with Jonah's prayer before us, listen to some verses from Psalm 69. Let's hear the echoes in Jonah's prayer. Psalm 69, verses 1 and 2. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. Goes on later in the psalm. Do not let the flood waters engulf me, or the depths swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, out of the goodness of your love. In your great mercy, turn to me. When we don't know what to pray, when we don't know how to pray, as Jonah did, let's pray the Psalms. Let's pray God's promises. Let's pray God's word. But why turn back to the Lord? Why remember? Why pray? Jonah's answer is glorious, verse 9, because the salvation comes from the Lord. It's the second thing tonight. Salvation comes from the Lord. This is Jonah's great testimony. This is the wonderful message of this amazing story. Let's just walk through the prayer again. Let's just notice again all that the Lord does. The Lord provided a great fish. I'm no great expert on fish stomachs, but I'm imagining that they're not the most hospitable of places. But the Lord preserved Jonah's life inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. The Lord answered. The Lord listened. The Lord brought Jonah's life up from the pit. The Lord commands the fish to vomit Jonah onto the dry land. Truly, the Lord saves Jonah. Turned on a couple of chapters without stealing anybody's thunder into chapter 4. Jonah says this: I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. This description of God's character is repeated again and again and again in Scripture. The verses we read from Psalm 69 speak of the goodness of God's love and his great mercy. Jonah says that he knew that this was what God was like, but he had chosen to turn his back on God. He was running away. Jonah didn't deserve to be saved. But wonderfully, God, in his grace, in his compassion, in his love, in his mercy, rescues and restores him. Remember the parable of the prodigal son? He turns his back on his father. He runs away. ultimately he finds himself living in a pigsty. Then he remembers his father. Then he turns around. Luke chapter 15 tells us, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son is unworthy of the father's welcome, but his father loves him and is watching for his return. The father has compassion. The father forgives. The father restores. This is our God. For those who know him as our Lord and Saviour, let's remember that this is the way that the Lord has dealt with us. We realise that we were drowning in a stormy sea, that the seaweed of life was wrapping itself around us and dragging us down, that we could not save ourselves, that turning to the Lord was our only hope. We cried out. He answered. We looked not to the temple, but to the cross, and found that the Lord had provided a Saviour, his Son, the Lord Jesus, who was able to rescue us, who was able to bring our lives up from the pit, who was able to set our feet upon the rock. Love, grace, compassion, mercy. To undeserving, unworthy sinners, well might we, along with Jonah, worship the Lord with a song of thanksgiving. If you're watching this, if you're listening to this and you're not yet a Christian, God doesn't want you to perish. He will, he promises to hear you if you will cry out to him. He will save you. Let me implore you not to cling to worthless idols, the stuff on which this world sets so much value, that will never meet your greatest need, that will never save you. Don't forfeit the grace that could be yours. I realised just as I was reading this through before we started that I should have inserted another heading, another point at this point, but let me just share it with you. The sovereignty of God in our lives. Because there's another challenge to us in these verses. Jonah says to God in verse 3, you hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. Chapter 1 tells us that it was the sailors who threw Jonah overboard. But Jonah sees the hand of God in both his being thrown overboard and the violence of the seas that swirled about him. God's plan was and is that Jonah will go to Nineveh and preach against it. The plan has not changed and will not be derailed by Jonah's actions. The sovereign God is working his purposes out. We need always to be careful. Isaiah reminds us that God says of himself as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Job at the very end of the book of Job says this about God: I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. It goes on a verse or two later to say, surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. God works in ways that are beyond our understanding. But as we look at Jonah, as we see his predicament, it's a consequence of his disobedience. God had said, go to Nineveh. He had said no, and was trying to run away. The psalmist asks, where can I flee from your presence? The answer, as Jonah discovered, was that there's nowhere that you can go to flee from God's presence. I'm sure that many of us who are Christians will recognize Jonah's experience. Not being swallowed by a fish, not perhaps coming near to drowning. But if you were with us this morning, we sang it, didn't we? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We've heard God challenge us to do something, to stop doing something. And as we've read our Bibles, listened to sermons spoken to other people, the challenge has been repeated again and again. But we don't want to hear, so we stop listening. Maybe it's simpler than that. Maybe we just stop reading our Bibles, stop praying, stop going to church. Whatever, however, we've found ourselves walking away from God. We've known something of the turmoil that Jonah experienced. We felt like we were drowning. We have been banished from the Lord's sight, like Jonah. In our distress, we've called out to the Lord. We've turned back to him. We've experienced his restoring love. As we see at the beginning of chapter 3, God commands Jonah to go to Nineveh a second time. I like to think that as we come to the end of the chapter and the fish vomits Jonah back up onto the dry land, that it's somewhere very close to where he started. If you look at a map, nobody knows precisely where Tarshish is, but if you look at a map, anywhere on the sea is going almost directly away from Nineveh. So he needs to come back to the dry land. He needs to come back to the place where he started. So often that's the same for us, isn't it? When we've had that time of wandering away from the Lord, when we come back, it's to that place where we started from. We have to address what caused us to walk away in the first place. But before we move on, let's just note a couple of things. We can encourage one another by confessing that this has been our experience. So often we tend to think it's just me. Nobody else goes through these difficult times. It's not true. We've all been in that place. And if you haven't been yet, as somebody who's been trying to walk the Christian life for a number of years, let me tell you that one day you will be. So let's encourage one another. Let's share our experiences if that would help somebody else. And the second thing is really, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that if you're going through a hard time, it's because of sin and disobedience in your life. The great error of Job's so-called comforters was to say that his loss and hardship must be due to sin. They had no thought that sometimes in God's providence, we are called to walk through hardships and difficulties. I think one of the lessons for us from Jonah is that God is at work in all of the circumstances, good and bad, of our lives. He will do whatever is necessary to fulfill his purposes for us. He will not be thwarted. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says this: he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Familiar words from Romans 8. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Ultimately, that's God's purpose for our lives. Never in this life, but surely in heaven, that we will be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Sinclair Ferguson, in his book Man Overboard, the story of Jonah, puts it like this: few principles are more important in the Christian life than the practical recognition of the sovereign God and his gracious determination to draw us near to himself, whatever the cost may be. When his purposes involve afflictions and suffering of any kind, the knowledge that he is sovereignly overruling is the only thing that can preserve us from a craven fear or a sense of despair and bring us a measure of joyful and willing acceptance of our situation. God is sovereign. God is at work in our lives. God has purposes for us. But let me close by asking you a question. I'm sure many of you have seen the BBC Headroom advert, or the advertisements for the BBC Headroom mental health, whatever it is, on the BBC website, but they've been on the television. And the girl who's doing those adverts turns to camera and she asks a question: how are you? That might be a bit of a clumsy question for me to be asking you here tonight. But how are you? We're coming nearly to 12 months of lockdown, and perhaps a period where for many of us there's just stuff going on that we've never experienced before. It's been a bit like being in a stormy sea. So as we come, hopefully, God willing, towards the end of that period of lockdown, how are you? Do you need to stop running away, turn back to the Lord? Do you need to be reassured and comforted that God has not abandoned you to the storms of life? Do you need to remember that salvation comes from our compassionate, gracious, patient, loving God, a God who is worthy of all of our thanks, all of our praise, all of our worship? So I leave you to go away and think about that, to pray about that. How's your spiritual life? How are you? I'm sure if you need to speak to anybody, then Lewis or David or Paul, myself, we'd be more than willing to speak to you if that would be helpful. But let's pray together. Some words from Isaiah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are gracious to us, that you are merciful to us, that you are compassionate to us, that you love us, Lord, with a love that is far beyond our understanding. Lord, we confess that so many times we're like Jonah, that we're not willing to be obedient, that we're trying to run away from you. Oh Lord, help us to stop. Help us to turn. Help us to fix our eyes upon you. Help us to pray as Jonah prayed. Renew in us, Lord, that joy of our salvation, that sure knowledge that salvation comes from the Lord. To be thankful, Lord, to be grateful, to rejoice that you are working your purposes out in our lives, even though that might lead us into difficult and hard times. Lord, we just thank you for all that you are, for all that you are doing in us. Lord, be at work, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.